Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
We're here, we're live, we've got highlights for breakfast. Are you still hungry after Thanksgiving? Got you covered right here at Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're live. It's Friday, November 26th. My name is Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, and Super Bowl champion Sean O'Hara.
Happy Friday. Who's ready to shop?
Let's go. Did you say, Kay, that we're live or alive? Because it feels like both. I'm grateful to be both.
Do you feel alive?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Sort of, yeah. A lot of pie. The pie was the crime that they gave me.
I woke up 5 minutes early just to sort of facially massage the sodium out of my face.
So much salt.
I iced my face. I did that whole. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. And it's time for the lead block.
Chugging that.
Let's go. Let's go. Here we go. Saints versus Bills. It's kind of cool. So Drew Brees honored before the game. Back in the Superdome, called the game. This was as good as it would get for the Saints fans today. They didn't have much on the field. Playing without Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, Michael Thomas. It was just, you didn't really recognize the Saints, but you did recognize this old Bills defense that came to play. Peyton was trying. I don't got a lot of horses right now.
Fourth down, he was going for it every time.
Yeah, just I'm going to try. Tre'Davious White, star cornerback, goes down, does not return to the game. We don't have a diagnosis yet. Everybody in Western New York, Rap Sheet is standing by right now. He's been on it. We're looking for answers. We don't have the prognosis yet, but that's a big one. This is exactly what you wanted to see from the Bills coming off that horrendous Indianapolis game. And the route is on. This was all Bills all day. The second half was a beatdown. The Saints scored 6 points. That is their fewest at home since 2005. You feel for them, though. A lot of guys out, 31-6. Guys, let's go to the feast. We got the three amigos, the Buffalo Bills, and the giant turkeys, and eating, and this is what it's all about.
Hey, Josh, to come off a short week and the loss that you guys were so stinging from last week and to come out here and win this way, what does it feel like?
That feels good. Off a short week, off a tough loss like that, we just had to work, and we did, and we came out, we played really well. Still some things to clean up, but super happy for our guys.
All right, a little cold, but really good. I asked Stephon Diggs last week what food Josh Allen would be on Thanksgiving. He said stuffing, easy, because he's big and he's soft, but he's eating a turkey leg there. They were not soft last night. In fact, they needed a win. They got it convincingly. I didn't learn much or take away much from this game, seeing as what their opposition was. I think I'll learn way more next week when they've got the Patriots, a really big game, but what did you take away, Peter, from this game?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. Like, they were up 24-0, and that was with Josh Allen throwing two questionable interceptions. But you look at it from the whole, and it's, all right, he went 23 of 28. He only threw 5 incomplete passes. He threw 4 touchdown passes. He was efficient, and this is a team that they should absolutely blow out, home or away, and they did.
And they did.
And you have to give them a check mark for this and say, they could have been looking across to the Patriots. Look what happened to when they played Jacksonville. Like, the world was burning in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They stopped the bleeding. Mm-hmm. However, I can't stress enough the Tre'Davious White injury, and we'll get to it more, but if this is a Super Bowl team, and he's one of the best corners in the league, like, that is massive. So now everyone needs to step up. And Zach Moss was inactive, and Matt Breida stepped up. And Dawson Knox went down for a few weeks. Guy stepped up. Now he's back, and he looks like he's great. Like, this is what good teams do. They take care of bad teams. And the Saints last night were a very bad team. And that's not against anything with the coaching staff, or it's not anything against some of those veterans they are so injured that this was almost like watching some bizarro world of the New Orleans Saints with players I don't recognize. And as they're down 24-0 and the crowd starts to even boo a little bit, there's like some booing. I'm like, you feel for that fan base, you feel for that team, and it just felt bizarre watching Drew Brees call the game of a bunch of guys that we don't recognize and a Saints team we don't recognize. That's two terrible losses in a row to the Eagles and now to the Bills, and it's like, I almost say farewell to the Saints, and I hope they're back next year because I don't know if this team is getting off the mat.
Yeah, definitely a tough night for the Saints. You know, your best quarterback is up in the booth. The only really chance that they got were at halftime, Kyle, when he got them down there singing Who Dat Nation. That was a pretty cool moment for the Saints, but then it was all Bills, and they were as advertised. But I thought Josh Allen, Kate mentioned that he was soft. That's a term of endearment, right? He was saying his quarterback is squishy.
I was saying Stephon Diggs said that.
Yes, Stephon Diggs says that about Josh Allen. I love the relationship that they have, that his receiver can say that about him, and he's not going to take it personally. He understands what he means. That relationship has played out on the field, too.
What do you see on that play, and what is that route called? And what, I mean,
Diggs get open, basically. he's a route technician. I think everybody knows that. I don't know what you're supposed to do when you're out there with him, because he's very smart with the way that he sets you up, and the quickness and the speed that he kind of gets out of his cuts. It's pretty unbelievable.
Diggs get open.
It's a great play.
I like it. Hey, walking the huddle, here's what it is. Here's what we're doing. Go to work. And they did just that.
This era of this ridiculous levels of offensive nuance and tight ends lining up. Diggs get open. Mm-hmm. Diggs is going to throw too. I thought the defense played great. I know they were against these fake Saints and everything. But I also think this Bills defense is an emotional defense. We've seen that over the last several weeks. I think they needed a big-time confidence build. I don't care if it was against the tomato can. That's fine. Next week, they got Tampa and New England coming. Like, the wrecker of worlds, their old guy Brady, this is a huge deal. I think they need a confidence booster. But I also learned something really fascinating, and that it cracks me up this morning. There's this question about Buffalo and some of their younger players. Have they been there? Poised under the big spotlight? Dawson Knox had a bit of a coming out party, but I'm still not sure about him in the bright lights in a big game. Let me see what he tweeted after the game. This is kind of interesting to me. Dawson Knox, star tight end for the Buffalo Bills, took way too big of a bite, was chewing the whole interview. Guys, this guy went crazy on this turkey leg. This is a young man. I watched Dawson. A huge bite. Now, Josh has had it before. He takes kind of a little nibble at the end, and Dawson just went big. This is a Southern dude from Ole Miss, and he had this giant piece of flesh and sinew and skin, and they go to him for a question. The guy could barely talk. This is how you learn the lessons as a young team trying to get a championship. You don't go with a huge bite right off the bat. I respect how excited he was. He scored 2 touchdowns in the game. He's becoming a star. But you go back and you look at the tape and you see, let's just dial it down. Let's act like we've eaten there before. Dawson, there'll be other turkey legs that you can learn from this one. Laser pointer, film, get in the dark room.
That's the way you eat the leg at Disneyland when you're walking around the fan.
Yeah,
you dig into it there.
Turkey leg, airbrush t-shirt, churro, rinse, repeat. Did you learn anything? If you're bringing up Dawson Knox and how he's eating a turkey leg, I'm guessing you didn't take anything away from this win.
My point is, I think this defense is emotional and they needed to beat somebody up to get the confidence up. Listen, Peter touched on this. Trey White is going to have to guard Tyreek Hill in a playoff game. That's their guy. So it's very dire and it's down, and I hope the prognosis is better than it looks. But confidence builder, the Trey White thing is massive.
Yeah, the Bills now are in first place in the AFC East. That, of course, matters. The Patriots can take it back, though, if they beat the Titans. That game, of course, on a Sunday, that's a good one. Let's bring in Ian Rappaport. Trey White's come up about 19 times to start this conversation, so let's get to it. The Bills defense losing a big piece early. What's going on with the All-Pro corner?
Yeah, one of the best defenses in football potentially has lost a significant piece. We saw Trey White yesterday go down with a non-contact knee injury, land on the ground. It was certainly a dire situation. And listening to the words of Sean McDermott after the game, he said, "We pray he's back." That is not someone who sounds like he has a lot of confidence in his player potentially coming back, but obviously we will see. They're going to know more in the next couple days. He is now going to have a battery of tests, including an MRI, to make sure of the diagnosis and just figure out what is the next course of action. Unfortunately, we've seen this so many times. A player goes down with a non-contact injury, is able to walk off the field, which is good, but rarely is this good news. You would think Trey White is going to miss some time, certainly potentially significant time with the Buffalo Bills. We will have more answers today as he undergoes these very important tests.
Yeah, sometimes you win a game, but that's the takeaway, and that's unfortunate this morning. Ian, let's look ahead to the weekend. The Browns, huge game against the rival Ravens. What's Baker's latest, and can we see a return of a certain running back?
Well, Baker's status is going in the right direction. He was a full participant yesterday in practice after really not doing anything the day before, and we've gone over his litany of injuries a couple times over the past couple weeks. We got a new one, though. We got a left shoulder. He's dealing with a torn labrum, a foot that's a bruised heel, and now he has a groin injury that popped up on the injury report as well. The fact that he was a full participant indicates that he is set to play, barring a setback, in a huge game on Sunday. And you mentioned the running back position. It's not Nick Chubb we're talking about. It's Kareem Hunt. Chubb's going to be there, but his sidekick, Kareem Hunt, sounds like he is going to be there as well. Talked to reporters earlier in the week after dealing with that calf injury that sidelined him for 5 weeks. He said, and I quote, "I'm definitely thinking I'm going to play." So that sounds like a guy who's going to play. He said, "I always bring that fire," and he does. He gives the Browns one of the best running back duos in football, and it sounds like they are expected to have that on Sunday.
K,
Cowboys versus Raiders. This game was on for 7.5 hours yesterday. I'm sure you saw it. Dak Prescott versus Derek Carr. Let's get into it. Carr, 3 straight losses for the Raiders. We go right to the fourth quarter. 30-30. Carr, open man is DeSean Jackson. Turns it up. There's a flag. What's the flag? What's the flag? They actually pick up this flag and say, no, that will stay.
That's rare.
So 4th and 3. Minute 54 left. Did they give Dak Prescott too much time? All right, we're celebrating, but 2 minutes is a whole bunch of time for Dak in this offense. We know they've got instant strike power. 3rd and 3, huge play. Dak threads the needle. Michael Gallup, he moves it across. First down. All right, we're in Zuerlein field goal range. Greg the leg. 4th and 8 for the tie. Yes, he makes it. Overtime we go. The Cowboys. They don't convert after getting the ball. They have to punt it away. The Raiders, they get the ball. 3rd and 18. Carr, maybe the biggest throw of his career. And we've got a pass interference. Interesting call. You could debate it, you can say whatever, but Anthony Brown, the truth of the matter, had 4 different pass interference calls called against him. And then after a wild sequence that Kyle's going to get into, Daniel Carlson on his 15th attempt makes the field goal, and the Raiders, real time.
How about it? They're
this
alive.
Game ended at midnight because of all the penalties and all the points and all the halftime celebrations. I'm kidding. It was a great game. 36-33, Raiders fans, get yourselves a victory. Cowboys now, losers of 2 straight. Let's start with the Dallas head coach. Here's Mike McCarthy after another head-scratching loss.
Obviously frustrating. The game was herky-jerky all the way through from start to finish. I give our guys credit to continue to focus and battle. But yeah, I mean, the numbers are absurd. You know, definitely understand that. But I just think like everything in this game, it's, there's trends and patterns, and we anticipated, this game being officiated this way. But in the same breath, it's the line that you have to straddle.
Dallas falls. Congratulations to the Raiders, who are still around, still alive, and still can make things messy in the AFC. What stood out to you, Kyle, from this game?
Crazy, crazy game that Peter was kind of joking about would never end. The end of this game, the very end of it, was absolutely nuts. 33-33, the Raiders come out to kick a game-winning field goal. It's really exciting. It's finally going to end. Here comes the kick, and it's good. The Raiders win. Now, hold on. False start on one of the linemen. So now we're going to back it up. And now we have an offsides from CJ Goodwin, who's trying to block it.
Just a little bit.
So now move it back to the original spot. Fine, now kick it. Third try. No, ridiculous. Then they get a first down. So they're like, put the offense back. No.
Romo says, they might want to go for it. I'm like,
no.
24-yard field goal, better than a 29-yard field goal.
On the 4th attempt, they made the kick. It was the whole game into one little thing. Weird penalties, a game that wouldn't end, and the Raiders winning it in the final thing. We can talk about the officiating, and we will, and we should. The Raiders won this game, and the Raiders are alive by winning in Dallas on Thanksgiving. That was a huge win, Sean, in the scheme of things.
Yeah, it was monstrous, and what an unbelievable ending, no doubt. It was nuttier than my mother-in-law's pecan pie.
Here we go, baby.
This game was interesting because we were talking yesterday about who's going to show up, who's going to show out. You hit the nail on the head with Tony Pollard. He had one of the most explosive plays in this game, kickoff return. But DeSean Jackson, I thought, was the biggest impact player in this game. Mm. He's been with the team for 3 weeks. He drew a couple of other really big pass interference penalties.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why you sign a guy like that. So kudos to Mike Mayock for picking him up. Speed kills, and DeSean Jackson showed that he could still do it.
It was a good win by the Raiders. The better team won yesterday. And I have to today come in and be like, Raiders outplayed the Cowboys. They deserve to win that game. There was a third team playing, though.
Go on.
The officials were the biggest story, and that's a shame to me because as much as you can call a play on everything and call a flag on everything, this got to the point where even the broadcasters had to be like, I mean, come on here. 28 penalties were called. It's the most ever on Thanksgiving Day since the Super Bowl. 14 on each team. So it's not like they're killing the Cowboys. Or no, like they were called. So 276 penalty yards? 276?
Wow.
This is wild. This is the most third down penalty yards we've seen in any game since 1991. Mm-hmm. Like every single time it was third and long, the refs threw a flag. And some of them, yes, but then some of them, no. Like the Micah Parsons late hit was a huge moment of the game.
That was a tough game.
Okay, fine.
That's what they're doing.
I know.
He sold it.
I know. And that's something from the soccer world or whatever we're talking about. But it is good. It's gamesmanship, right? It worked, whatever. I come in here, the Raiders won the game. That's great. We're going to give them love, and they deserve love. Both teams, I felt like, were on the short end of the stick because for whatever reason, the decision was, let's make the yellow flag the biggest story on Thanksgiving. Maybe the biggest game other than the Super Bowl as far as eyeballs watching. And if the officials disagree, and I'm not complaining it became about the calls yesterday.
It was.
I don't want that.
Never do that. All right, we have more highlights now? What do we got?
Yeah. What's that, Peter? You want more penalties? Oh, let's go to the Bears-Lions highlights.
Hey, Peter, no taunting.
Second helping.
No taunting.
All right, listen, this was the very first game right here. Matt Nagy, it's been a rough week for him. Justin Fields with injured ribs. Listen to the
quarterback. Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball?
I want to defer.
They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Which way do you want to kick? Chicago will receive at this end. Good luck.
That is an all-timer.
All right, congratulations. That'll be the last time you go out for the coin toss.
Shouldn't they have given the Lions the ball? Say they have ball to start both off?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Help them out. The Chicago Bears get the victory in Detroit. Andy Dalton, Matt Nagy. It's going to be a big weekend.
That's it, Nags. Boom. Club Dub. And they did do Club Dub. They did.
They did. There's lots of great games, guys, on the slate for Sunday. We got the Bucks and the Colts. We've got the Tennessee Titans facing the New England Patriots. The Rams up against the Packers. I love that. Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, very familiar with each other. We've got that Colts game on the docket first. For Mad Minute, we'll run through the slate of action. Get you set. Happy day after Thanksgiving. Week 12 is officially kicked off. There's an incredible slate of games coming to us on Sunday. Let's break it down with some of the best matchups called Mad Minute.
All right.
That's how we do 60 seconds on the clock. Kyle, Peter, and Sean are going to share that minute to go through some of the games. So let's start with the defending Super Bowl champs, the Buccaneers. They're headed to Indianapolis to take on a red-hot, running through everyone. Colts squad, what are you looking for? Eeny, meeny, miny, pita.
Do you know which team Tom Brady hated the most when he was a Patriot? The Indianapolis Colts. You know which team rushed a football to the sidelines and said, check the deflation levels on this right here? The Indianapolis Colts. Do you know which general manager, Bill Polian of the Indianapolis Colts, said, we got to change these pass interference rules. This is ridiculous what they're getting away with over here. The Indianapolis Colts. Brady, it's Colts week. I don't care where they're playing. I'm looking at Tampa in this one.
Nice, Peter.
How about Carson Wentz in this one? I mean, we know that the Colts can run the football. What if the game starts to get a little bit out of hand and now all of a sudden Carson Wentz has got to throw the football? I'm curious to see how he does against this defense who can get after the quarterback a little bit. So, yeah, give me a little Q Nelson in there against Ndamukong Suh. That'll be fun to watch, too.
I think the Colts are winning this game. I'm picking the Colts straight up to win the game. I don't care right now if you put out the 92 Cowboys, the 85 Bears. I don't want to play the Colts. I really don't. And the Wentz thing, we've been talking so much about Taylor, as we should. Carson Wentz had a really nice season. He has a couple really glaring mistakes. But other than that, like solid mistake-free and not just being a passenger, I just think the Colts are on fuego right now, and I think they're going to win this game straight up. I like Indy.
I like him, too. I like that you said that, Ed Jimmy Fee, with your thoughts. Tom Brady, 8-0 in his last eight meetings with the Colts. He got his last loss in Indy back in 2009. Peyton Manning and his Indy Colts rallied back in the fourth quarter from a huge deficit. All right, it's an NFC East showdown between the Eagles and the Giants at the Meadowlands. What are we looking for? Sean, take this one, your squad. You're working that day.
Yeah, I can't wait for halftime. Man, it's going to be great. We're going to retire Michael Strahan's jersey. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be so exciting. As far as the game, please make it stop. Stop the run, all right? I just want to see this Giants defense hold up against this Eagles offensive line that's just pummeling people. I'm looking forward to the offense, you know, seeing what's new there, but the defense got
good luck.
Can we start talking Eagles-Cowboys yet? Can we start doing it? Can we get into this?
Are we allowed to now?
Listen, the Cowboys, tough loss last night. Eagles on fire, running the ball. I would just say Eagles, don't you dare lose this game. Do not blow this game, because then it all just poof and you had your shot and you blew it. Like, this is a huge Eagles game out of nowhere because of what happened in Dallas last night. Go get the East. Screw it. Go do it. We can talk about it.
This will sound dismissive to Saquon and Daniel Jones and all the guys who suit up for a living, but like, keep it competitive in the first half. That's all I ask. I can't have Michael Strahan go out there at halftime and have it be in a bunch of Jeremiah Trotter jerseys and Brian Westbrook jerseys booing him. Mm-hmm. This is not how it should be for Michael Strahan. So Giants, keep it close at least for a half, and then do whatever you want in the second.
How many fights in the stands?
I don't know if there are fights. I think it might as well all be Eagles fans, dude.
Eagles have won 8 of their last 9 over their division rival, Giants. The Panthers head down to Miami. They take on the Dolphins. What is intriguing to you, Kyle, this game? Kick it off.
I want first bite at this Panthers-Dolphins apple. This is why I show up to work today. Can I put the fin up yet? Can I do fins up for Miami? They're 5-7.
Okay.
They've won 3 in a row.
Let's go.
The schedule is really tasty, guys. Okay. It's a bunch of Jets and Giants, and like anybody can go make a run in the AFC. You can still do it. If you win this game, they get to 5-7. I'm telling you, I'm looking at their schedule, and it looks like 8-7 to me, and I'm not even messing around.
In this today's political climate, you doing this? I'm like, I don't know if that's a Jet. I don't know what that means. Like, don't do any.
This is a dorsal fin of a stupid dolphin.
But I don't know. Is it really?
What do you really mean?
I'm waking up a sleeper cell. No, it's a dolphin. I don't know why it's on its head. It should
be
back here. I don't know. They go like that.
Take it away.
Crap. I might be screwed on that one. I might be done.
You know what just kind of comes to mind is Saleh talking about why he's starting Joe Flacco.
This is not the game. This is Dolphins. Okay, sorry.
The Dolphins defensive.
I should have shook. Take a lap, Peter.
Now we got Cam Newton. It's new Cam. It's, you know, Cam is rebirth.
That was a great minute.
I can't wait to see Cam.
Hey, Shrags, I'll let you redeem yourself. The Dolphins haven't beaten the Panthers since 2009. Which former star scored 1, 2, 3 touchdowns in that game?
Steve Smith. Senior.
Ricky Williams. The other team. What's happening here?
Peter's on the same stuff as Ricky right now.
Okay? That's it.
Okay. Another divisional matchup with the Steelers headed to Cincy. Wow. Steve Mariucci really did a disservice being on our show from Zoom yesterday.
You can pretend it's a Zoom.
Of course. What are we excited about in this one, guys? It's a nice AFC North divisional matchup. Let's go with Sean.
Man, it feels like a long time ago that we were talking about the Bengals running away with this division after they beat Baltimore Ravens. But, this is what it is right there. And I think for Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase, this game right here in the division, this is their chance to put their stamp on this division and say, look, it's ours now. We're the young guns. We're going to take control of it. And they do it against the Steelers. That would be big.
Oh, yeah. Good shot, Sean. I'm with you on that one. Steelers 0-2-1 over their last three games. It feels like they started off on the mat. They got themselves up. Now they're down again. I think this is my favorite game of the weekend, though, because it's just like, who wants this thing? Yeah. This feels like a street fight. One of you guys is going to lose this game and be in rough shape.
Yeah, and like quietly in the second half of that Raiders game last week, the Bengals came alive. Like, all of a sudden, Ja'Marr Chase was throwing vicious blocks and Joe Mixon was running. And it's like, wait a second. They do have a pulse. This team might be what we thought they were a couple of weeks ago. This is fascinating because of all the injuries on Pittsburgh's side, but it's also fascinating because, like, the Bengals, rarely are they the heavy in this matchup. Mm. They might be in this game.
And so true. They've actually won back-to-back games against Pittsburgh. They haven't won 3 straight against them since way back in 1990. It'll also be fun that Sunday night game is the other half of the AFC North facing each other with the Browns and the Ravens. All right, finally, the Titans are making their way to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. Why are your eyebrows raised on this one?
I like this one.
This is the game of the week.
Peter, this is the one. Talk to me about
this
the one.
This is the game of the week. This is the number one seed in the AFC, but there's so much more like in the weeds on this one versus the Patriots, obviously. But Vrabel, former Patriot, obviously knows that team well and has beaten that team in eight spots. Tannehill. For whatever reason, when he was on the Dolphins, they'd be 8-8, but they would always beat the Patriots at least once. And then you've got this Titans team that everyone is immediately just canceling out and saying, okay, on to the next weeks when the Bills play the Patriots. Tennessee wins these type of games. They fight. They are feisty.
They
I am not canceling out the Titans on this one. They might have an upset in store.
I like the Titans' ability to bounce back. Kyle, you did a great Star Wars piece yesterday. This is the young Jedi coming up against his father, the Darth. Vrabel coming into town. This Patriots defense, I think they're going to steal the show. We saw Ryan Tannehill struggle last week. This Patriots defense is phenomenal. They're taking the football away, and I don't know if they can block Matthew Judon.
Judon with those red sleeves is unblockable. I'm kind of with you, Peter. Like, this is the game the Titans win. They're tough. They don't care. And yet... I think the Patriots win this one by 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Patriots are unstoppable right
they're
now.
They're not even unstoppable. To your point of 2 touchdowns, they're outscoring opponents by 123 points this season. That is by far the biggest point differential the NFL. It's an AFC West showdown. Chargers, Broncos, this one in Denver. It's probably going to be pretty cold. Sean, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I just talked about Austin Eckler as my brightest star, but I'm going to look at this Denver Broncos 1-2 punch of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. This Chargers defense, boy, they better bring the lunch buckets. This is a big challenge. Their Chargers run defense hasn't been great right now. I think they're giving up 145 yards on the ground, which is worse than the NFL. So look for those two to try to go buck wild.
Dangerous game for the Chargers. I want to trust the Chargers. They love Staley. They love Herbert. Going to Denver. Denver off a bye. Chargers 6-4. Denver 5-5. This would really be a deflating loss for Chargers enthusiasts and Chargers teams. Be careful. I find this, I don't want to say an upset for the Broncos. I don't even know if it is one. If I'm a Chargers fan, I'm very nervous about this game.
I feel like like Chargers fans have to feel really good after winning that game against Pittsburgh. And if you go into Denver, it's like we're slaying ghosts and dragons and whatever the analogy is, week Zombies. After week after week. We're doing something, but we're making sure that we're going into December feeling good. I like the Chargers in this game. I really do. And I think Herbert's the X factor. He can throw in cold weather. He can make it happen. And if this is not the same Chargers franchise, Chargers win this game. And this is a new leaf and this is a new team. Go Bolts.
I hope so, because the splits are not kind. The Broncos have won 3 of 4 against the Chargers. They're actually 14-5 against L.A. Over the last decade. Now the Vikings head to San Francisco to take on the Niners. I like this game. Both of these teams are very interesante. Peter, what are you looking for?
This might be my favorite game of the week.
Yeah?
It's a good game.
It's such a good game, and I love the fact that both these teams are coming off huge, huge performances. The Vikings win over the Packers was awesome. It was Cousins like, I can do this too. And then it was the 49ers who beat the Jaguars, but also the Rams 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan tried running the ball right down that Minnesota defense's throat. But I don't know if Minnesota's going to have it. I like the Vikings in this one in San Francisco.
Do you? Wow, I like this 49ers offense and what they've been able to rattle off with the run game. I can't wait to see what Deebo Samuel does and where he lines up. With Juchek and Kittle, and you had it on cool plays, bro. Yeah. I mean, the chemistry and the creativity is phenomenal. And I love watching this 49ers offense. My question is just, can their defense keep it in check? Mm-hmm. You know, is this going to have to be the Jimmy G show?
If I'm a fan of another NFC team other than these two, I want this game to be a tie.
Yeah.
I don't want either of these teams to have a win. I want both of them out. The Vikings right now are in the 6th spot. The Niners are in the 7th spot in the playoffs. This is kind of the fake Bad Bowl. Both these teams are excellent teams that don't have excellent records, and I don't want either of them to have a win.
Wait, Niners are in?
Niners are in right now. It's 7th.
So that's what happened after yesterday's action. The Niners get it. Interesting for the Niners. Weird stat alert. Kirk Cousins has had 25 games where he's had over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. 25 games. The only quarterback who's ever had more through his first 10 seasons, Dan Marino.
Mm.
I honestly could talk about this Vikings 49ers game for like the rest of the show.
Why is it about this game?
I just feel like the Vikings put it all together last week and the 49ers just finally put it all together. And if they just for the fast, they're playing two of the best brands of football in the entire league right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you know a reason to watch this game alone? The Niners' first possession. The last 2 weeks, their opening drives have been two of the longest drives in the last 20 years in the NFL. And they go 18 plays, 19 plays, and it's always that first Shanahan script. Do not miss the first drive of this game. It's awesome.
It's a producer's nightmare. Like they're like, we got to get commercial breaks in, guys. Yeah. What are you doing to us?
What happened? They just started clicking. Right. What happened clicking. To the Niners? We were dragging them.
Kittle
we
came back.
Critical about.
I think that
Kittle
was
came back, and they established their identity. Like, we're going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And after that win against the Rams, I think there was a real feeling looking around the room being like, no one could stop us. We can do this. It's cool. Watch the Niners do this.
GM, beat the Falcons, heading down to Jacksonville to take on the Jags. We have to stop talking about that. Let's get to this one. What are you looking for, Shrakes? Do you have a lot to say about this one?
I don't have as much to say about this. I mean, I feel like the Niners and the Vikings is like a premier game. This one might not be, and yet the Falcons are still hanging around. The last two times we saw them, the Cowboys blew them out by 40 points, and then the Patriots just embarrassed them on Thursday. How do you recover? How do you respond? Curious to see what Arthur Smith's got in that bag, because they should win this game. You lose this game, it's over. See you later, Falcons.
Yeah, this is crazy. Matt Ryan, we were talking. We've been talking this season about Matt Ryan, and he's had some ups and downs. And, man, I mean, I don't know if it got any uglier for him than that Thursday night game with the interceptions, the pick six. I mean, Kyle Van Noy, he's still having nightmares about him. So this is a huge game for Matt Ryan. This is proximity-wise. Jacksonville, Atlanta, pretty darn close. You lose to Trevor Lawrence right now, this is going to be tough. You like my geography lesson?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Do you know how good Kirk Cousins has been? Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, like they have a Super Bowl roster.
Let's talk more about Vikings 49ers.
Juszczyk is wrecking people right now.
Nick Bosa.
That Vikings-Niners game is awesome, Adams.
Falcons have been outscored 68-3 over the last 2 weeks, to Shrag's point. Brutal losses to the Cowboys and Patriots. Let's see if they can get off the mat here. Big matchup in Green Bay, the Packers hosting the Rams. What has us going about this one? There will be no mention of the Vikings or Niners in this, because this is a great
this
game.
This is good.
This is the surf and turf.
The thing about Harrison Smith. No,
this is underrated.
This is not a fun thing. I'm just staring at Rodgers the whole game. How is his foot? Is the toe a thing? Is this toe going to, like, cost the Packers a game in the NFC? Is this going to be the undoing? Is that going to lead to his last game as a Packer? I wonder how serious. I know he stuck it in our faces and everything the day before we eat. I just wonder how big of a deal it is. And, Sean, some people think he's a little soft for doing that. I don't personally, and neither did Kay or Peter, but do you?
I haven't really thought much about this.
Is that right?
To be honest with you, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is soft. He's elaborating too much.
Okay, yeah.
We get it. Look, Aaron Rodgers is tough. He's played through MCLs, calf injuries. Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, he's broken his collarbone twice. It's not about toughness. I know he's tough. It's just weird. It's a mm-hmm. weird look. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good look for him, and it's just odd.
The Rams, this is it, right? Like, they went all in on Von Miller. They went all in on Odell Beckham. I know you lost Robert Woods and Cam Akers earlier in the season, but you can't lose three in a row, and you certainly can't lose three in a row, including a bye week.
Yeah.
No one has an easy time going into Lambeau, especially with Rodgers and Adams.
Peter, how about that Deebo Samuel, though? Are you kidding me?
The Packers have won 6 of their last 7 against the Rams. Wow, odds are in Packers' favor from that perspective. Finally, guys, the other AFC North showdown. It's the Browns facing off against the Ravens. This game is in Baltimore for Sunday night action. Mm-hmm. What are we looking for in this one, O'Hara?
Lamar Jackson all the way. I mean, this has been a weird kind of twist of fate here for Lamar. He's sick. He missed the game last week. Not only is he out there, is he going to be himself? Is he going to be the Lamar that they need him to be? I'm looking for Action Jackson. I want mm-hmm. to see him.
I'm looking at Baker Mayfield. It's a hypothetical. Go to halftime. The Ravens are winning 10-0. The Browns' offense isn't moving. They have maybe one first down. Baker threw an interception. Do you maybe sit him? Really?
Get the hook?
Yeah, for real. Like, do you put Case Keenum in the second half? Because they got to win this game. And I wonder if Baker, I know he's tough and I totally respect it, he's got reasons to be out there other than just winning. Like, he's trying to prove who he is and what he's worth. And, like, it just looks like he's battered all to hell. And if you're losing this game, I wonder if you go like that.
Yeah, remember last year they played on that Monday night game. This was the game of the year. And Lamar went into the locker room, came back running out. This year it might have even more at stake. Like, I feel like both teams need this game so badly. The Ravens won last week, did not play great. The Browns won last week, did not play great. They've got to play great at some point. Both these teams need to get it going. Okay.
There we have it. There's a Mad Minute. What are your thoughts at GMFB? More highlights ahead if you missed anything yesterday. Now, I bet Josh Allen helped a few of your fantasy teams last night. Up next, I'll give you my top 5 fantasy values for week 12. Stick around right here on Good Morning Football.
I'm Will Sullivan. Welcome back to Good Morning Football. And if you are a loyal viewer of this program and are a fantasy owner, then you know it's always important to heed Kay's advice when it comes to hitting the waiver wire. Now, hopefully you listened to her and you ended up picking up Bears wide receiver Darnell Mooney, as he had 5 catches for 123 yards in yesterday's win over the Lions. There was a lot of chatter leading up to the game about head coach Matt Nagy's future with the team. Our very own Stacey Dales talked to Mooney about how they dealt with the distractions.
I think we responded well. We didn't let it get to us. You know, that's a lot of things that can happen throughout. Well, a lot of things that's happened throughout our season. So, I think we handled it well, and we got the win. So.
Last week, 100 yards, I told you. This today, 123 receiving yards, I believe it was. Darnell Mooney, you're special, right? How have you managed to accelerate what you do on the field so rapidly from year 1 to 2?
Confidence. Confidence is everything. And I just want to be dominant and help my team win. That's the biggest thing.
Well, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor having himself a breakout season, leading the NFL in scrimmage yards and scrimmage TDs. He could become the first Colt to lead the NFL in scrimmage yards and TDs for the first time since the merger in 1970. Linebacker Darius Leonard, friend of the show, enjoying standing on the sideline, watching what Taylor does with the rock.
He's putting the league on notice that he's a bad man. And for me to see it as a defensive guy, you know, I'm thankful that I don't got to play against him. No, he's running DBs over, still forming linebackers, you know, using his speed. He's just a special cat, man. I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, what type of guy he really is as a leader, as a teammate. So hopefully he just continue, you know, to stack these days and hopefully come out and get about 200 rushing yards each game.
And fantasy owners everywhere would certainly like to see that. And Kay and guys, let's not forget that there is added juice for Taylor as well. We saw it in that HBO Hard Knocks episode where Kyle was on there in that running back's room. Obviously, he wants that Harry Potter scepter. It's important to him. So he'll have added motivation for this weekend.
Goodness. It is, Will. There's all kinds of things going on right now, aren't there? We love you, Will. Will you enjoy yourself a nice glass of wine or something tonight, all right? You earned it. Great, Will.
What kind of stuff's going on? What do you mean? So, yes.
I'm hearing Thank voices, you. Aren't you? You're not?
Are you? No, Will. I got to tell you, I was
at Anthony, I hear you.
I was at Thanksgiving yesterday. Luckily, my right eardrum is burnt out from your Angry Run segment, so I didn't have to hear the boy sitting next to me talking to me about how cryptocurrency is taking such a dip and it should be a smaller part of my portfolio.
Taking a dip.
I hear it's getting hammered.
Taking a plunge.
Is it really?
Let's
blow off the rest
Bitcoin,
of the show.
Bitcoin, ethereal, whatever. Yeah.
Ethereum.
Got to stay the course.
I know a little too much on this stuff, guys. Oh, really? Are you that guy? I was like, why did I get seated next to this guy? Boosted. I would rather help somebody set their fantasy football lineup at this point, and that's what we're going to do right now. Top 5 Friday. Sure, we're going to have to get into that. I didn't think you were this guy. This is where you and I part ways.
That guy. I do too.
Here, I'm going to give you my top 5 best fantasy football values that will help you get a win week 12. Crypto, no idea. Fantasy quarterbacks, kind of, I do. Let's talk quarterback Carson Wentz. I know everything has been focused on Jonathan Taylor lately, and I think there's value to be had here. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Wentz has been a fantasy QB1 all season long. He's not thrown interceptions. I think we're going to see the Colts open up the passing game a little bit more this week, given the strength of the Bucs' run defense, right? We're a little worried about Jonathan Taylor this week if they can get it done and lock him up. Tampa's been struggling in the secondary. Carson should be a QB1 again. At running back, Javonte Williams, it's been a pretty even split in Denver's backfield between Javonte and Melvin Gordon, but Williams has been the stronger performer of late. I wanted one of these guys, and this is who I'm touting. He's averaging 5 yards per carry on the season. I like the efficiency. He does the most of his opportunities. 80 yards a game over the last 2 weeks, and it's the Chargers' defense. What do we know about the Chargers? They cannot stop the run. They cannot figure it out. And I don't think it stops this week. I'm just as worried as you are about this Chargers team, Kyle.
Yeah, it's a dicey game.
Mm-hmm. How about Rex Burkhead? Throwback?
Sure, yeah. He's playing ball now.
2017, 2018.
Houston?
Sure.
Yeah. Nebraska. Got rid of Mark Ingram a few weeks ago. They waived Philip Lindsay. That happened earlier this week, in case you missed it. So it is Burkhead and David Johnson in that backfield now. I do think both have value, but Rex didn't get the bulk of the carries last week, seeing 18 touches against Tennessee. Someone's going to go off. Why? Because it's the Jets' defense. They've allowed more points to running backs than anyone. I feel really good about Rex or David Johnson. I wish they would just give it to Rex and load him up with a bunch of carries.
Both those guys together is a nice, tasty retro, isn't it?
It is very cool.
Do you remember remember his father came to watch Good Morning Football when we were in Minnesota?
Rex Burkhead?
Rick Burkhead showed up. He's like, I'm a fan of the show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Well, him and Michael Badgley's dad need to get together.
What is Rex?
This will be the second week in a row that Rex is trying to take it in.
It means king. Yes, Rex.
Rex is the whole name?
It's the whole name.
Next up, a wide receiver.
Did you have a theory? Like, did you think it was like Rex Anthony or something?
I thought it was like I don't know.
It's just Rex.
I thought you said Ethereum again. I was like, bring that up again. Mm-mm. Okay, wide receiver Chase Claypool. Chase has had a rough sophomore year. He's battled through injuries. He's been a top 25 fantasy receiver just twice this year. But he's looked like himself a little bit more. Talk about retro. He looked good against the Chargers last week. 5 catches for 93 yards. That was Sunday Night Football. By the way, one of those top 25 performances this year came against the Bengals. That's who he has this week. And they've struggled in coverage of late. Finally, at tight end, Tyler Higbee. Yeah, he's been coming up big lately, raking in tight end one numbers over the last 2 weeks. He's facing a Packers defense. They've allowed the 5th most catches to opposing tight ends so far this season. It's a bit of a shoot for the moon, a lot of mouths to feed. Not really with Robert Woods there. What's Odell's road? Maybe they do look at Tyler Higbee, Peter.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys have to step up. Odell, Higbee, and of course Van Jefferson all need to play bigger roles.
Shoot the moon!
Week 12. NFL season, we get game picks for you. You always have to do a game pick segment. They rate well. Right now, it's time for our GMFB certified 100% grade A grass-fed top choice picks of the week. We're each going to pick one game that we swear is going to be a winner this week. P. Schregs, who's the game that you swear is going to be a winner this week?
I love the NFL.
Yeah.
But Ohio State has won 8 straight times.
Let's go.
One short of the series mark that was set in 1909 against Michigan. The last 2 times these 2 teams have met, the Buckeyes have beaten the Wolverines 118-66. Okay. I'm not a Michigan alum. Mm-mm. I'm not Rich Eisen. I'm not Adam Schefter. I'm not one of the million of Michigan mafia that's out there in sports media. But I love a good fight. And I'm saying that the Michigan Wolverines in the big house are going to take care of business. Go Blue! Michigan beats Ohio State in the biggest game of the weekend in football. The Michigan Wolverines beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. And that is my...
Ohio State!
GMFB certified
Big house, baby. Big house.
That's awesome.
Go Blue.
That's it, baby. The winged helmet. That's you, baby.
That's it.
That's
Shrek's good luck with your benches now. Buckeyes fans are going to be coming after you. Yeah.
Bring it.
They're going to win that game by 70. I mean, they're going to destroy them.
They might. The heart for Harbaugh.
I like Harbaugh, too.
Harbaugh's never beaten Ohio State. Yeah,
maybe you should do something about it.
Oh, boy. All right, let's go back to the NFL.
Let's do it.
The Los Angeles Chargers are taking on the Denver Broncos.
Boy, this is a tough one.
Look, I've been talking about Austin Ekeler today, the brightest star, but to me it's going to be Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert has been dominating this division. When you look at what he's done in his last six games in the division, 15 touchdowns, not one interception. This is a tough, tough Broncos defense. And listen, I think they've got the work cut out for him, but my pick of the week, my pigskin pick of the week,
light him up.
Bring me the fire. Light me up.
Certified 100%.
Enough of this turkey talk. I want some beef.
Choice pigskin picks of the week.
Oh, man, it's getting smoky in here. Do I have to put the mask on?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on. This is always such a loopy part.
Schrager's vape pen is leaking into the stage.
Do you know who has the number one defense in the NFL?
Not the Bills anymore, probably.
Patriots.
Whoa, uh-oh.
Patriots.
The Patriots, do they inch one piece closer to having the top seed in the AFC? They'd have to beat the Titans. Do they have the firepower, Tennessee, to get through the number one defense? I don't think so. The Patriots have won 5 straight, best D in the league. I think they easily win over the Tennessee Titans. Bring it, Titans fans. I'm going with Patriots just to make it more interesting in the AFC over the Titans for my
GFB.
Bring me the fire!
Certified 100% grade A.
Well, let's turn there for Stacey James. Everybody up there, purr. I love you.
There we go. We're calling out PR folks.
Okay. Force is strong.
We got some Patriots up in here. We got some Wolverines up in here. The Indianapolis Colts play the reigning world champions in their home stadium in Indianapolis. I don't care if they're playing the 2000 Ravens this weekend.
What about the 92 Cowboys?
The 92 Cowboys is a prolific team, and I'm going to give it to Taylor. He's going to run right the hell through them. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts as my... Yeah, we're doing it. This is going to be the Carson Wentz game. No, it's not. Bam. Taylor. More Taylor. More Taylor. You want to win the MVP? You run right through the Tampa Bay Red and Pewter. Bucks, I'm sorry, but Taylor is coming and the Colts are going to win. That's it. That's the prediction segment.
Now, Bitcoin lost 8% yesterday to its lowest level hammered. In months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good thing I'm not invested in Bitcoin.
You need a Dogecoin, Peter? What are you smiling about, Cheshire Cat?
Say I keep my...
I do more of a straight cash.
Diversified portfolio.
Oh, God. All right, Tristan from Wall Street.
Strong? This is quite strong. That's right. That's
Jared
right.
And Trent.
Jared and Trent. They'll be back next
How's
week.
How's your portfolio, Gaylord?
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see you guys.
See you later. Bye.
Peace.
See ya.
Bye.
If I want something, I'm going to go get it. At first, it'll be all struggle, then it's all crazy.